follow through. We've reached a most fascinating passage in the book of Galatians. A passage that I guess for many people reading, they would say, what's this got to do with me? So hopefully this morning we can come to understand how relevant this is for us today. Is Thomas here this morning? Can't see him. Okay. I'd like to invite you to stand and let's read God's word together. Just a few verses. Galatians 3 verses 6 to 9. Let's read together. Thus Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So you see that it is men of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are men of faith are blessed with Abraham who had faith. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us the truth of your word this morning. For the glory of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now I guess we've just read an interesting passage and my first question is, how on earth can an Australian be a son of Abraham? Did that question sort of go through your mind? How could a Singaporean be a son of Abraham? Well, the answer is only by faith. Faith and faith alone. And this is the key not only for Aussies but for people from every other nation to become a child of Abraham. But you're probably still thinking, well, so what? What on earth has that got to do with me today? I'm not Jewish and Abraham lived. How long ago did Abraham live? Does anyone know? How long before Christ did Abraham live? All you CTPers? 2,000 years, so, and it's now 2,000 and something, so over 4,000 years ago. What on earth has that got to do with me sitting here in a worship service in Brisbane in 2010? It seems that it could be quite irrelevant. And I used to think that whenever I read through the New Testament and got to Romans and Galatians and talking about Abraham, or what on earth has got to do with me? And then I began to dig into my Bible. And I actually began to discover some of the most thrilling truths in the entire scripture. To realise that one of the greatest blessings in my life and one of the greatest blessings in your life is to really understand what it means to be a child of Abraham. And Paul takes two verses out of the Old Testament and he helps us understand what this means for us today. Verse 6 quotes Genesis 15:16. It says, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. And then verse 8 quotes Genesis chapter 3, chapter 12 verse 3, and actually what is repeated in Genesis 18:18, when he says, in you shall all the nations be blessed. And then in verse 9 he says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham who had faith. So the big idea of this passage that we're studying today is anyone who lives by faith is a child of Abraham and will enter into Abraham's blessings. So hang on to your seat as we move into this fantastic little passage of scripture. You might still be feeling quite underwhelmed. But let me assure you, if you just hang on this morning, we're going to have some very, very wonderful revelation. Remember way back in December, I preached this three series of messages on discipleship. And one of the subjects was, whose responsibility is it to make disciples? And we said that we have a responsibility. We said, you know, others are involved. But primarily, who is involved? Whose responsibility is it to make disciples? It's God's responsibility. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we discover in this little passage, did you get this? Did you read that it said God preached the gospel to Abraham? Abraham didn't go to a Billy Graham crusade to hear the gospel. He went to a God crusade. And God preached the gospel to Abraham. Wouldn't you love to have God preach the gospel to you? That's in question. That's incredible. God preached the gospel to Abraham. So the question that I want us to face this morning is, how may I become a child of Abraham, and how may I enter into the blessings of being a child of Abraham? So we're going to divide it into two parts. The first part is this: how can I become a child of Abraham? So there's just three things, three implications that I want us to know. Now, I didn't understand this for years, but you don't have to be an ethnic Jew to be a child of Abraham. That's the very heart of the gospel. White, Anglo-Saxon, Australian Protestants can be sons of Abraham. Isn't that strange? Thai, Lao, Hmong, Cambodian, Black, Senegalese, Wolof can become sons of Abraham. Actually, anti-Jewish Muslims can become, well, they already think they're sons of Abraham, I guess. But bomb-carrying young men and women in Iraq and Iran can become sons of Abraham, and even if they had repented, Stalin and Hitler and Idi Amin and Pol Pot and all of the others could have become sons of Abraham. You don't have to be an ethnic Jew to be a son of Abraham. Galatians 3:7, therefore know that those of faith, these are sons of Abraham. And in Galatians chapter 3, towards the end of the chapter, we read this: so there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, between slaves and free people, hey, and get this, between men and women in God's sight. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are descendants of Abraham, and you will receive what God has promised. That's the first thing. You don't have to be an ethnic Jew. The second implication of this is that you need to understand the gospel in Genesis. That's why a few years ago I preached on the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And then I've preached a couple of messages on Genesis chapter 12. And in fact, the last time Vinay preached, if you remember, he preached a wonderful message on Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, on the covenant. I'd like us to read this together. Oh, boy. Okay, could you read from your sheets? Why don't we just read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 together. Let's read. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So here God chooses Abraham, a Semite living in Ur of the Chaldees. God just chooses one man and says, you are going to become the father of a nation. The Jewish people would be created from this one man. And Abraham, your blessing, your mission is to be a blessing. Your destiny is to serve all the nations. Now, I've got a question. Is this blessing that God wanted to give to Abraham the same as sonship? Is it the same as being a son of Abraham? Is there any clue in Genesis that the nations would be blessed because they had become sons of Abraham? Now in verse chapter 17, God spells out the terms of the covenant. Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For you, I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. How are the nations going to be blessed? The nations are going to be blessed because Abraham will become their father. They are going to be blessed by becoming sons of Abraham. So that's the first thing we need to see about Abraham's children. They include more than ethnic Jews. And we need to understand the gospel in Genesis chapter 12. The third implication is this, that we actually also need to do what Abraham did. During the mid-80s, I was sleeping in a creek bed in central Australia, not far from the Warburton Ranges. And little did I know that that night I was going to experience something that would be indelibly etched on my mind and my soul and my imagination for the rest of my life. I was travelling in the desert with Noel and Olive Blythe, veteran missionaries to the Australian Aboriginal people. And Noel was a pharmaceutical chemist, and God had called him into the mission work amongst the Aboriginal people of Australia. In fact, when Noel graduated from Pharmacy College in Melbourne, his first job was to work for my father in the little town of Kerrang in northern Victoria. And little did I know, way back in those years when Noel used to come to our home as a young man, way back, that one day he and I would be fellow pastors in the Christian and Missionary Alliance together. Neither of us had heard of the Christian and Missionary Alliance at that point in our lives. God has some very wonderful ways. And now, as we climbed out of the old rickety panel van, I was actually fulfilling a long-term dream, because I'd heard Noel tell these incredible stories of his trips through the desert, and I'd longed all my life to join them, and here I was with them. It was dusk. We'd found a creek bed, and he said, "This is where we're going to sleep tonight." So out came a great big sheet that he spread out on the ground, red Australian dust. And out came the sleeping bags and the packs and the rolls. And then he said, "Come on, come with me." So we walked all around the perimeter of this little camp spot, and we dragged big branches, and it was all sandalwood. You know what sandalwood is? Those of you from Asia should know what sandalwood is. Most of the sandalwood in Western Australia is exported to Asia to make joss sticks. And the smell that you have smelt so familiarly in all the temples in Bangkok and everywhere else is often sandalwood. So that night we had a roaring fire beside our camp with the aroma of sandalwood. We cooked the billy, we had an evening meal, and we talked around that campfire for ages, and then it was time to go to sleep. And I got into my sleeping bag and I lay on my back and I looked up. And I saw a sight that even makes me emotional now. I'm a city boy. I'd been brought up in Melbourne. I'd been living close to Perth. And that night, I saw stars that I had never seen before. It was so incredible. I mean, there was no light to threaten the view. And you could lie there and put your hand up, and it was like we went to Avatar the other night, you know, and we're dodging the whole time as these three-dimensional things are coming at us. Well, it was like that. You felt you could reach up and touch the stars. And the Milky Way was actually like a white sheet from horizon to horizon through this myriad of stars. And I couldn't help thinking, as I lay there, I was thinking of Abraham. Later, the Lord spoke his word to Abraham in a vision. He said, "Abram, don't be afraid. I am your shield and your great reward." And Abraham asked, "Almighty Lord, what will you give me, since I am going to die without children? Eliezer of Damascus will inherit my household. You have given me no children, so this member of my household will be my heir." Suddenly the Lord spoke his word to Abram again. He said, "Abram, this man will not be your heir. Your own son will be your heir." And he took Abram outside and he said, "Now look up at the sky and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." Then, listen to this, then Abraham believed God, and the Lord regarded that faith to be
his approval of Abraham. This, my friends, is one of the high watermarks in the entire scripture.
And then Paul infers from this in verse 7, so you see, it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith, so if you do what Abraham did, you can become a son of Abraham. And of course, the implication being you'll become a son of the living God. So the first thing we said about being sons of Abraham is that you don't have to be a physical descendant of Abraham. You don't have to be an ethnic Jew. Anyone here this morning can become a son of Abraham. The second thing is that we need to understand the gospel in Genesis and realize that the blessing that came to Abraham as the father of a multitude of nations comes to all of those. That same blessing comes to anyone who puts their faith in Christ. And now the third thing we've just said, that being a son of Abraham, not in every particular, of course, but in the essential thing of believing God's promises. Abraham believed God, therefore those who are of faith become sons of Abraham. Okay, that lays the foundation. Now the second part is the best part. What are Abraham's blessings and how do I get them? How do I enjoy them? What are those blessings? Is there any inheritance that should interest a 21st century Christ follower? Any business person, any mother, any housewife, any English teacher, Cole, whatever your profession this morning, is there anything, is there an inheritance that we could claim for ourselves? And this passage mentions two blessings that if we enter into them will change our lives both now and for eternity. The first one is the blessing of being made right with God. I may have told you this story before, but in the years that we were out in Pinjarra, from 1981 to 86, we had the joy of seeing so many people put their trust in Christ. And one day at a Christmas service, I was sitting, and a woman was sitting at the back, and I'd never seen her before. We found out later on she'd ridden her bicycle to church that morning. And we became good friends with Bronwyn. But for about 8 months, she kept warning me, don't come to our house, don't visit our house, my husband eats pastors. And, you know, that just made me more determined to get to that house. And so she kept telling me about this big crane driver from New Zealand who was a big, tough guy. And one day God just put it in my heart to drop around there one evening. It was dark, I knocked on the door, and this big bloke came to the door. G'day, what do you want? Oh, I'm Pastor Roger from the... Well, no, I just said, I'm Roger Lang from the church, and yeah, come in. And I went in, and there was a picture of Essendon footballers. You know, Essendon is a good team. They're playing St Kilda this afternoon. And he had a whole lot of racehorses as well. Well, that didn't interest me. But that evening, I really connected with Don. We discovered a few things in common. And over the next probably 12 months, we became good friends. And I was really burdened for him. His wife had come to Christ. She actually told us 6 weeks after that Christmas service that she'd prayed to receive Christ sitting in the chair that Sunday. I had no idea. Then one afternoon, it was July. It was pretty cold in Pinjarra. We had a fire going. Saturday afternoon, we had a visitor. Glenda Weldon, I think. And we were having a lovely chat, and suddenly the Holy Spirit said, go and share the gospel with Don. It was just completely out of the blue. So I just said to the girls, excuse me, I've got to go. So I drove down the main street of Pinjarra, and there he was at the post office, in a telephone box, back in the days when we had telephone boxes. And his wife was standing outside, so I stopped and went over, and she said, what do you want? I said, God's put it on my heart. I've got to share the gospel with your husband. She nearly freaked. And I stood there for 20 minutes while he's talking to his mother in New Zealand. And eventually came, I said, Don, can you come to my office tonight? I really believe now's the time for me to share with you how you can have a relationship with God. Yeah, okay, I'll be there at 7:30. So I was there 7 o'clock, got all the office. It's in the main street of the town. 7:45, no Don. 8 o'clock, no Don. 8:15, no Don. And I was really discouraged and ready to go home. And about 8:17, I heard a car pull up out the front, and there he was. And for 3 hours that night, I shared with him as clearly as I knew how the wonder of what it was to be a child of God. And at the end I asked, Don, would you like to receive Christ as your Saviour? And by this time the sweat was pouring from him, and he said, yes. So we got on our knees together and he prayed himself into the kingdom. And then he just sat in his chair, and he was just, for about 5 or 6 minutes, he was just going, oh, oh, oh. I said, what on earth's wrong? He said, oh, I've never felt so relieved in my whole life. And he talked about the burden of sin that had gone, and the wonder of what it was, the blessing of what it was to be made right with God. Scripture saw ahead of time that God would give his approval to non-Jewish people who have faith. So Scripture announced the good news to Abraham ahead of time when it said, through you, all the people of the earth will be blessed. That's why we're into missions. That's why we're supporting Chris and Scotty. That's why we're supporting Vinay and Belinda and the teams that have been out to Cambodia and the Philippines and other places. And that's why I beg you to pray for me as I go out this week. The second blessing is the promise of the Spirit. The passage that we've looked at this morning actually doesn't mention the Spirit, but another passage, another blessing of being Abraham's child is made clear in Galatians chapter 3 verse 14, which says, in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham came upon the Gentiles in order that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Anyone who puts their trust in Christ, as we saw last time we were together, has received the Holy Spirit. As we come to a conclusion this morning, I want to just share something with you. Now, a few weeks ago we talked about the process of discipleship. Number one was the crucified life, and we talked about Galatians 2:20. What's that say? Who can quote Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ, but it's no longer I who live. Christ lives in me, and the life that I live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the first issue in the process of discipleship is the cross. Then the next one we said, the process of discipleship number two, walking in the Spirit. Now today we've come to this point that one of the great blessings of being a son of Abraham and being a child of God is that the Holy Spirit has come to live in us. And the moment the Holy Spirit comes to live in us and we're born again, we don't just get all happy and all our problems get solved. As I've shared with you many times, actually that's the beginning of a war. And I want to try and explain this to you. And in your handout sheets, there are three circles.
And which one will I use? Use this one to start with. Now, can you see that? Now, I'm of a particular theological persuasion. This is all a bit, you know, I don't want to get you confused, but some people believe that we're only made of two parts and others believe we're made of three parts. Well, I'm on the tripartite side. We are made up of spirit. What else? Soul. And what else? A body, okay? Now, according to the scriptures, Adam and Eve sinned. And the moment they sinned, the little candle, the spirit that was in them, this little candle that was in them, the moment they sinned, that was snuffed out. Now, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is God. Down here, we've got the world. Okay? Now, what's the soul? What's the soul? Think in three levels again. There are three things that I want you to give me. Intellect, we say intellect or mind. Emotions. And the will. That's the soul. That's the real you. This is the part of you that's going to go and be with Jesus. Okay? Now, when we are born again, when we become sons of Abraham, when we receive the Holy Spirit, suddenly that little flame comes back again. Now, this is one of the most incredible and wonderful blessings of human beings. We're different from animals. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't worship him because the flame has been extinguished. We are sinful people. We're separated from God. But the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we become sons of Abraham, the Holy Spirit invades us, and we become spirit, and therefore we now have the potential to communicate with God. For the first time. But as I said, well, now let's talk about the body for a minute. What are the five senses that relate to the body and that always relate this way? Your senses won't help you relating to God. They always go down this way. What are they? Okay, so seeing, hearing, speaking, feeling. Now, knowing's up here. Feeling, this is the bodily senses. And what's the best one? Down at the food court. Every Sunday, taste. So you've got five senses that are dragging you down. Now, when you are not born again, when you are not a child of God, the only thing you can relate to is the world. So through your five senses, this is why everyone's gathering as much stuff as they can. We all want to be fulfilled by the things that we can taste and see and smell and all of those things. Now, when we are born again, suddenly we start to have the ability to relate to God. But what happens? The moment we are born again, a warfare breaks out. And we have to continually make choices every single day whether we are going to live in the spirit or whether we are going to live according to the flesh. This is the crux of the Christian walk. This is the tough part.
And everyone says, how can I live in the Spirit? Well, thank God he made the provision. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me who lives. It's Christ who lives in me. And every day I can choose to walk in the Spirit or walk according to the flesh. Romans 6, 4, 5 and 6 talks about what it is to die to self. And later on in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to talk about this in more detail. The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the flesh leads to destruction, but the fruit of the Spirit leads to life everlasting. So this is the blessing of being a child of Abraham. The Holy Spirit has come. We're a child of God. And now, through the cross and the Spirit, we can walk in the Spirit and live a life of victory over sin and death. Do I hear a hallelujah? I mean, this is just the most wonderful thing that God has done for us. And I hope this will just help you explain. I mean, there's another way. You remember the other day we did it with the three circles. And we talked about the little thrones. And for the person who's not in Christ, Christ outside the life. And little egos down here and all our life's a bit of a mess. It's another way of looking at it. And then, of course, when we make Christ the king of our lives and we sit down here, then all of these things come into order. It is possible to be a carnal Christian according to Corinthians, and we can have little E on the throne and Christ down here. And this is where Paul, at the end of Romans chapter 7, he talks about this battle that's going on all the time. But what we're saying here in Galatians is that to be a son of Abraham and to be filled with the Holy Spirit is the way to victory and to life. And we can do it every day. Let's pray together. Now, I know for a fact that some of you are really struggling in this area. Some of you have come to Christ years ago. You see others who are really living in Jesus. You know that they're walking with God, and you long to walk that way too. And so this morning, when I've finished praying and we've finished singing, I'm going to ask the elders just to come with me into the room next door. And if you're struggling in this area and you really, really want some victory, then come and pray with us. We'd just love to encourage you and help you. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this incredible idea that we can become sons of Abraham. We praise you that you chose one man to become the father of the Jewish nation. But Lord, the law hadn't even come into being when you talked with him. And as he longed to have a son, and he was almost 100 years of age and knew he couldn't have a son, Lord, you took him out that night and showed him the stars and said, you're going to have children like this. And Abraham believed you. Lord, help us to believe your promises and to trust you. We thank you that we can be your children, and we thank you that you've given us your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to walk in victory this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.